Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Alchemy of Light broadcast here on bbsradio.com. And the Alchemy of Light broadcast is a celebration and exploration of consciousness. And today, I'm very excited to be welcoming Alfred Lambermont Weber, and we are going to be exploring consciousness in relationship to the unity consciousness and the positive timeline. Hello, Alfred.
Hey there.
How are you today?
You know, today's a pretty good day.
Mm.
It's our usual Vancouver overcast rainy weather, but that's how it is living in the midst of a rainforest.
Lots of rain and lots of green as a payback. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us and taking time to share your light with us in this really special time of transitioning from a negative timeline, a perpetual war timeline, a timeline of endless suffering, to the point that I believe our consciousness has been not only saturated, but we've kind of been convinced on some level that maybe that's all there is for the human experience. So the idea of a positive timeline of unity consciousness, of moving from the idea that we're individual, little, self-sufficient, all-important bipods to the fact that we're maybe connected to not only each other, but the entire cosmos is quite a leap. And you have done such a tremendous job in your research and your steadfastness in this. So would you please bring us into this conversation? How do you see us making that transition, or anything you'd like to bring a foundation for our listeners to?
Sure. You know, we could spend a lot of time on what I like to call the catastrophic timeline, which right now the permanent war economy is spending trillions of dollars trying to implement. They're trying to desperately implement the catastrophic timeline, and you know, they built trillions of dollars worth of armaments, worth of armies, worth of bioweapons. They've sprayed the entire human race with bioweapons in terms of vaccines, with depleted uranium ionizing radiation, with ionizing radiation from nuclear weapons, trying to destroy the ecology of the planet. They've built underground, and all of this is very, very documented. You can go to, let me just say it once, you can go to either www.peaceinspace.org for the depleted uranium and the ionizing radiation from nuclear weapons, or from the mass mood management and the tectonic and earthquake warfare and the weather warfare through HAARP and other mechanisms. And you can go to exopolitics.com for our examiner, completely documented examiner articles showing all of the underground shelters and bunkers and that are being built by the catastrophic timeline, including secret bases on Mars in sort of what they call alternative three, whereby the Earth would be turned under the catastrophic timeline, which secret societies in the Illuminati cult, which got started in 1775, have been trying to fulfill. The Earth basically would be scorched, kind of turned into a Mars-type situation. And then they would have secret bases on Mars for the furthering of the genome. And, you know, all of this mumbo-jumbo. Well, that's not what the universe has in store. The universe has in store a positive future. And now so I would rather concentrate, rather than talking about the bad stuff, which is all over the airwaves, I mean, all you have to do is turn it on and it comes out like molasses. is talk about the good stuff. Because
yes.
that's what's really occurring behind all of the Maya, all of what appears to be, negativity in this transition that is happening now at many different levels and through many different dimensions. A dimension is what we can call sort of a discrete energy or a bounded energy octave, and it can be of energy, it can be of more advanced formats of light, or even of love, which are very advanced forms of which reality is composed in the more advanced sectors of reality. We're in relatively primitive sectors of reality because we're sort of an entry level intelligent civilization. And we're not quite in those dimensions of light and love yet. We'll be getting to those in a few.
I'm not minutes. Sure. Say minutes.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Right.
Let's not wait. We've been waiting a long time.
Right. Basically, what I've been doing is looking at the positive timeline, and now it looks as though we can actually begin to plot out and to document objective milestones in the coming positive timeline, even through the year 2025.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at 2010 to today still. We'll be in 2011 shortly, but we're still in 2010. And it goes something like 2010, 2014, and 15, and then 2023 and 2025. Those are major milestones in the positive timeline. And I know that there's a huge meme out there called 2012. That's a meme, but it's not necessarily the meme that we should be paying attention to. That's a meme that I helped get started along with a bunch of others in 1987 when I produced the National Public Radio satellite radio program out of the Boulder NPR station, Boulder, Colorado, on the harmonic convergence. And that's what, and people like Jose Arguelles and others were there, and that's what really began to front load the whole 2012 meme in there. So, let's kind of unload it just a little bit because it's not necessarily that big a deal, and look at some other very important dates. And those dates have begun to occur very recently, within the last few months. Tell me.
Would you like to, now, when we talk about dates and times and things like that, it's kind of tricky, I find, to nail a date when we're translating the universe messages. And so it's not so unlike the 2012 idea, or, you know what I mean? Anytime there's a date that's set, it seems the way that it works easier for me to understand is that it's a set date that is allowing a focus to work within the span of the assumption of this date, rather than sort of obsessing about the date and sitting, saying, okay, well, In your suggested timeline, say 2014, 2015 is the ET intervention. Well, rather than be sitting here waiting until, okay, well, we're 2013 and 12 months, so we're going to have 2014 and 2 months, and now the ET timeline is happening. The way that the universe communication comes to me is more in a unified form. So when we break up the timeline into these dates, I think it's for our understanding that all of these things are actually in motion and that these are time brackets that we can expect to see particular movement in this area. But it's not like, for instance, this show, okay, this show is going to happen at, 2 p.m. Pacific time, and we have to be here at 2 p.m. Pacific time. The universe has its own thing going on here. So I think there's a conversation to be had in sort of translating the conversation to our calendar as we know it. And also, would you like to go through these dates and tell us, okay, in 2010 to 2013, the transformation of the old order as you've written, and how that manifests itself and prepares us and connects to the 2014-2015 intervention with extraterrestrials to clean our biosphere, which allows the descent of the unity consciousness, and 2023 moving into the full garden refurbishing or growing again, our colors returning in the garden of this amazing planet in 2025. And to me, all of these things are already happening. The unity consciousness is descending now. The transformation of the old order is happening now. And the ET intervention is also happening now. So how – do you understand what I'm saying? How the consciousness – how our consciousness can assimilate so many ideas at the same time and then discern them by particular dates to make them more functional. Does that make any sense?
Oh yeah, no, that makes sense, and I think that the time and these dates are sort of, first of all, you're right. They're very plastic and they're very flexible, and they're the result of interactions between evolving human consciousness and other dimensions, to the extent that human consciousness can evolve more rapidly and can access other dimensions more rapidly and more easily, all of this will occur can occur in an accelerated fashion. That is, there is, we're now entering, as of, according to one Mayan scholar, Dr. Carl Joseph Kalaman, as of October 28, 2011, that is the end of sort of the any regulation by the singularity at the core of our universe sort of a sinusoidal curve of expansion and contraction of energies of consciousness on this planet that we've been subject to the last consciousness cycle of 5,000 some odd years, or some say 26,000 years. So these things like the mind calendar are really not calendars in strict sense. They're more like mind maps or consciousness maps. So as of October 28, 2011, according to this particular conscious map, which some say is a extraterrestrial calendar, some say it's a Pleiadian calendar, some say others. I mean, this is kind of, we don't know, this is sort of urban legends that get started. We're on a different sort of program in terms of the waves of consciousness that emanate from singularity at the core of our universe. So as of, according to this view, as of October 28, 2011, which technically we're in now, because as of this summer, July 2010, the singularity sort of pumped things up and is now sort of in a pre-phase where we're having a pre-phase of enlightened unity consciousness. We're sort of getting a foretaste of it. So we're learning what it means. It's like we're on a bicycle with training wheels right now. And we're kind of getting the feel of what it means to be able to co-create in time and around time. And that may be some of the feelings that you're expressing now.
Can you give can you give an example for the listeners? What does that mean in our life? How would we notice that if this change is happening in our consciousness and the pre-phase of this consciousness, is it manifesting in our thoughts? Is it manifesting in our inner relations or?
Yeah. You know, this is a perfect time to begin to change and transform one's attitudes toward blocks that you may have had before, for example, in relationships or regard to things like money or finances, because money is falling away. And just start thinking about value and just start thinking about things, you know, like housing and food and sustenance and good and bad and, you know, just things you really want, rather than think, oh, if I had all this money, then I would have all these things. No, it's a different way of thinking. And people that want to down call it magical thinking. But the fact is that reality now, objectively, since last July, is a lot more, quote, synchronistic and, quote, telepathic. Mm-hmm. So that if you pay close attention, you'll find that your life can really flow much more easily. And likewise, if you're into like your ego, you can get tangled up much more easily. Life will always be a double-edged sword, basically. But you'll have much more synchronous meetings. Things will begin to open up. If you want to get your message out, that'll start happening. Things are much more flowing now because as one begins to access enlightened unity consciousness, duality falls away. And duality is falling away in the entire field. So if blocks to one's actions were all around duality, either duality within or duality outside of oneself, then it's going to be much more flowing. So I have found myself much more mellow in the last 6 months, finding reality much more awesome because I'm just opening my eyes to the flow of the universe rather than trying to control it. One good legal training and 40 years of legal practice, and then you think you can control the whole reality. And all of a sudden, you figure out that no, the actual secret is to let go, to ride the flow of the universe, which is supremely intelligent and supremely interesting, and better than any movie that any could ever think of. It's that kind of access, which I think, and I'm trying to give as specific examples as I can. Am I being specific enough, or should I get more specific?
I think you're touching it very well. I understand what you're saying, and I actually share your experience too, and I would agree that the pivoting place is the control issue, the understanding that there is a universal love intelligence that is self-organizing all of us and the cosmos to its highest expression, and that we can choose to become a part of that self-organizing process and align ourselves and our lives with that intelligence, or we can persist in our own prejudice of what we think the perfect organization should be, basically, and go out there and basically fight for what we think is the right thing for us, for everybody. You know, getting into the control is what basically stops the universal flow from working in my life. I have noticed that that's the pivotal point. When I get to the point where I see there's a constriction happening, I always find myself trying to control something. Always. It doesn't matter what. That's always the key. Okay, we have a challenge here. And challenges are actually to align with, to allow me to align back with the universal intelligence if I allow that. If I don't see it as, if I don't take it personal, you know, and just say, oh, okay, well, here we are. Where's my alignment? Am I with it or am I fighting it? Am I trying to control it? So I think you hit it right on. I think that's great. And so as we're expanding in our consciousness and we're becoming aware of things breaking down, and this is an interesting time because things are breaking down. I'm calling them social earthquakes. For instance, friends of mine who are all part of a school here in Boston, the school was closed in the last week. Now, that is a very traumatic thing, but it's also the universe realigning and an opportunity to rethink and to ask these questions that you are presenting that are really important, you know, changing the conversation from money to value. You know, what is important in my life? You know, what have I been spending my time doing? Most of these people that are now finding themselves facing unemployment were really all miserable in their jobs anyway. I mean, I did nothing but listen to them complain for years about that whole scene, and now they're free of it. And it's like the biggest gift to say, wow, well, gee, I have my whole life, and what am I going to do with it? And I feel like that is the positive unity consciousness moving in to help us move into a whole openness for a new paradigm to take hold. And how do you see it taking hold as we move forward in this transformation? Working as the old order is defining itself and then destroying itself, and then those of us who are here to recreate the world, and I believe that we're becoming much more aware of that spark in us. We're finding that passion to just, all right, you know, move on with it. There's a tragic story, and find love anyway, and carry on the mission. And how do you see this manifesting as it grows stronger? And how can we become more proactive and allowing this in our lives? How would you address situations, you know, in the obvious tragedies that are befalling us at the same time as this consciousness is rising? How do you see that relationship?
Well, you know, it's funny. You've been talking about it. It's the old familiar breakdown breakthrough pattern, right? In other words, complex systems always break down before they break through. You have that in relationships, you have that in families, you have that in societies, and you have that in planets. And that's what we're going through now. We're going through a breakdown of the old as the new breaks through, right? And it's kind of like the tower card in the tarot. If you're holding on to the old, it's going to be really hard when you're thrust out of the tower, right? I mean, that was the whole symbolism behind those black magicians that thought up the 9/11 false flag operation, right, with the Twin Towers. And, you know, they just created two giant tower cards in in the tower and try to thrust everybody into darkness from light into darkness, but they just created a great teaching machine because you need darkness in order to accentuate the light, where the light comes in and gets rid of all the darkness, right? So the creator of the reality that we're in, one of the many design criteria that Source uses is good versus evil, or light and dark. So that's, you know, so we're now in that kind of light and dark process. So in a way, that's what is occurring now is the light is emerging, right? And after the sort of the tarot card trying to thrust the whole planet into darkness after 2001, well, we're now into 2011, right? And we're going into an accelerated time period up to 2025. Sure, we can sit here and have a conversation in which we teleport ourselves to 2025 and be in that consciousness and just talk from that consciousness of enlightened unity consciousness, instead of staring at, you know, out of my window right now. Things would be quite different. You know, I wouldn't have roads and cars, and I may have, people that are dead kind of walking by, and lions and lambs walking around having a great time. Okay, I'm just speaking from a symbolic standpoint. See, it's going to be a new earth, a totally new earth. Now, what that range is, you know, how, i.e., in this 15-year period, the amount of social change and biosphere change and perceptual change will be huge. You know, like when I asked my grandmother when I was a 5-year-old, 6-year-old child, I said, what was the greatest invention that you felt, you know? And she said, indoor plumbing. Because they didn't go out to the outhouse. You know? I mean, they didn't have indoor plumbing back in those days.
Wow. Okay.
So, but change was at a relatively different. Now we're coming into an era in which the kind of the quarantine or the unidimensionality of our third dimension will be stripped away. Because more of our internal capacity as humans. There's a new, in these 15 years, and let's put 15 years in quotes, because 15 years between 2010 and 2025 is not, quote, as long as 15 years between the year zero and the year 15. Between the year zero and the year 15, it took a long time to get there, okay? Because time was going at a relatively slower pace.
Right. And
the rate of invention, because the rate of consciousness was slightly different. Now, change will be going at a very, very rapid pace because those consciousness waves are flowing, different sets of conscious waves are flowing from the singularity at the core of our universe. And as individuals, more of our DNA is being accelerated, more of our auric and etheric bodies and chakras, you know, our ninth chakra is going to be kicking in, that straight above our crown chakra, about 18 inches above the top of our heads is going to be kicking in. So we're really, starting to be the spaceships that we were meant to be. We're like little spaceships on the planet, you know?
Yeah.
Like bio spaceships. So bio spaceships for souls.
I like that.
And that's the view that we are, and And one will be able to access these, and one is able to access these talents and potentialities even more. And as the crystal kids come in, I mean, they're a whole generation of hardware and software beyond you and me. And they can do wonders. So the amount of change between now and then is going to be huge. Also, by 2015, all of these old dinosaur leaders and all of the control news and, you know, all of the, you know, like Larry King retiring is like a huge symbol. It's like all that whole thing is gone. Okay. All that whole thing is gone where they, you know, see all those things that they used to tell us what's real and what's true is all passing. So a whole new generation of leaders are going to be coming up that aren't necessarily a product of the Matrix, because what's going to happen is that between now, over the next 10 years, over the next 5 years or so, there's going to be an enormous deconstruction of the Matrix and of what's real. The quote money and financial system is going to transform and kind of maybe fall apart and new things come back to together again. It's going to be a much more sustainable society.
I find that people's attitudes are more open than they were even just a year ago. I'd have to go back 2 years ago for me. And just talking with people, I feel like inside of people, we all want this world of harmony. We all want to get along. We all want to stop the war. If you took a random, sophisticated poll and you went just in every street, and if every single person listening went into their street and asked 20 people if they wanted war, I bet you we would have less than 1% come back and say yes. You know, the human itself is crying out for an end to this misery. We know we can do better. We know there is so much more. We know that we have, you know, if we haven't clued into the fact that we've outright been lied to, some of us, you know, aren't there yet, but there is still something in us that knows that we didn't get the whole story, you know? And so.
Right, right.
Those are things that that's a multidimensional perspective of, you know, how I see this consciousness slicing through the whole of humanity, because we have so many different levels of awareness and so many different levels of playing in this whole scenario. And, you know, you don't have to know the depths and breadths of the inner workings of the secret societies to understand your part in the whole of recovering your own personal dignity and sharing that with the whole of humanity and becoming an active part in the restoration of the human dignity as a species. You know, I think I think that's one way that the universe is kind of sneaky, or, you know, we're all getting caught into this positive thinking because that is what we really want in our heart of hearts. And perhaps maybe that's the singularity wave in activating our RNA DNA is making room for this to actually have more of a place in our life and how we choose that. Would you share with us what your experience, what you know about the DNA RNA? I am so fascinated. I am studying the DNA RNA now, and I just find it incredibly fascinating that every single cell in our body has DNA. Every single cell in our body has DNA. And that every single cell in our body is regenerating constantly. And our whole entire body itself, every single cell in our body, what I was just reading, completely regenerates in about 2 weeks. So that means we have a whole new body every 2 weeks with the exact same DNA in every single cell. And that DNA itself is approximately 3 meters in length. That's over 3 yards in length of it in every single cell of our body. And this is the part that is that connects us to the universal pulse. And this feels really true to me in my research. And I wonder what you could offer to that conversation and your research and how DNA works and what is, you know, we're okay. So we get this pulse from the universe, right? It's this pulse. And then we're in this bio spacesuit. I love that. And we're receiving this pulse. And so the DNA RNA is the transceiver. And so can you tell us a little more about that? What is that component? Well, can we, you know, how sure. Can we relate to that in our body? If I look at my hand, you know, what part of the hand is that? You know what I mean?
Well, it's like the code. DNA is like the software code that makes the CGI that you see in the movie that
What's
looks
the CGI?
Like computer generated images.
Ah, okay, thank you.
Yeah, if you're watching a CGI movie, which most science fiction movies are, or most like, you know, it rather than being the building these elaborate large sets out of plywood now. For large cities or something in historical movies or science fiction movies or enormous armies. I don't know if you saw Lord of the Rings or any of these other movies.
Well, I saw that one, yeah.
A lot of these are computer generated images. So the DNA is like the code, but It's a living code. In other words, consciousness affects DNA. If you have a negative consciousness, your DNA is not going to evolve and activate. That's why we're now in the juncture of many cycles now, one of which is a 270 million year cycle, when species spontaneously appear and disappear. That's why we're having one of the largest species extinctions that we have ever had as part of a 270 million year cycle. And one of the extinctions of this period is Homo sapiens. Nobody talks much about that because Homo sapiens controls the permanent war economy. Homo sapiens controls the universities and the academy. Homo sapiens controls the media. Homo sapiens controls finance and government. And Homo sapiens is not about to report on its own extinction. But that is what is occurring now. And Homo sapiens will be extinct within 15 years. And out of Homo sapiens will emerge Homo universalis. But it's almost without a fossil trace, because what happens is that the DNA is activated. Right now, about 97% of DNA is considered to be junk DNA because science cannot account for it. It functions. And that DNA is what is going to be activated. We're operating on 3% of our function now because we're multidimensional beings. We actually descended in all of the dimensional descents from Atlantis and Lemuria and previous conditions, you know, the whole Adam and Eve myth of the Garden of Eden. We were actually much more multidimensional and upper dimensional, and we've been placed in this kind of lower dimensional quarantine or prison. Mm. And we're now emerging out of that.
Mm.
So Homo sapiens is a lower dimensional being. You're not having mainstream science reporting on the demise of Homo sapiens,
mm-hmm.
just like you're not having Homo sapiens report on the relationship of the gray extraterrestrials to our DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Continue. Well, I was just going. Well, the activation of the DNA then allows access to that information of our deep heritage, which
it makes us capable, multidimensional beings. It makes us mm-hmm. so that we will be able to participate in heaven and earth. You see, in paradise on earth. Right mm-hmm. now, paradise on earth is occurring.
Mm-hmm.
But we do not have the DNA activation. We haven't activated those apps. Or we haven't activated that portion of the software.
Mm-hmm.
We're only running 3% of our software in our hardware. You get it?
I get it. How can we be more proactive in our activation, do you suppose?
Well, that's the whole thing. First of all, identification with a positive timeline and not the negative timeline.
Okay, so how we feed our minds.
So that, first of all, a lot of it is automatic. Hmm. Secondly, it's attitudinal. And in other words, locking your mind into the singularities at the core of our universe. See, by singularities, you mean enormous dimensional portals at the core of our universe. Our universe is only one universe of many parallel universes and the whole spiritual dimension in our multiverse. And even the galactic black hole is the singularity at the core of our galaxy. And locking into that, and all the emanations that are coming through, and those are what are activating our DNA and all of our new being, because that's how the universe functions.
Mm-hmm.
So you play according to the rules of science. The issue is that mainstream science and the media and Homo sapiens is keeping that all from you. So just recognize that there are two species right now, Homo universalis and Homo sapiens. So recognize the two and figure out which one you want to be. You want to be Homo universalis. So then do a lot of point of center meditation. Do we have about 12 minutes left? Is that it?
We're getting close.
Oh, okay, good. I'm just trying to pace myself.
do
a lot of, first of all, read a lot in this area.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be publishing a great deal in this area. Go to exopolitics.com
mm.
and read all of the articles that we post there, because these are our interests, and we integrate a lot of this information there in videos, in articles, in all sorts of information. Listen to radio programs like yours, Jamil,
mm-hmm.
and keep up to date on the information. And the science, the parascience. Secondly, keep in touch with the upper dimensions.
Mm.
And one way to do that, in other words, be as multidimensional as you can.
Mm.
One way to do that is through meditation. One meditation that is very good is called the point of center meditation, and that is you just kind of sit there and take a deep breath, let it out. It can be just for 15 minutes. And if you take, cut your brain in quarters, in other words, take a line from the front of your
your third eye and run it straight back through your brain, and then take a line from one ear to the other, and your pineal gland will be right in the center of your brain. Well, that pineal gland has a lot of functions for interdimensional communication. It goes right up to your ninth chakra, and then up through a silver cord, up through upper dimensions. And so maintain a double vision. In other words, you're meditating, maintaining your mind empty, and then with the second observer, come in and begin sending light to your pineal gland, which then becomes your inner sun, your inner illumination. And that's your inner sun, the sun of your inner universe, of your inner solar system. And then that, do that for 15 minutes, and you'll begin to access a huge amount of energy and information that's downloaded from the multiple dimensions. The whole function of chemtrails, the extraterrestrials have now told us through a communication that came through on November 9th when they predicted the Regional Galactic Council would show itself through extraterrestrial, through UFO sightings over New York on November 24th, is that they have now started to clean up the chemtrails, because one intentional function of chemtrails by the Illuminati and the dark forces is to interfere with the individual's auric and pineal gland and ninth chakra communications from the consciousness emanations emanating from the universe singularity and the galactic center. So you want to counteract the effect of these chemtrails through this meditation. It's this real kind of spiritual light-dark war that we're in. And so I'm passing on what you can call civil defense right here.
And would you share with us the component of free will? And free will is a great, you know, topic for long conversations. But in the focus of this conversation, where we are choosing to activate our homo universalis, our universal mind, consciousness, being human. And that component, I think, is probably the one that I observe needs to be reminded that it actually exists sometimes. I sometimes see a resignation in people that rather than taking that challenge and saying, I am going to be a fully activated homo universalis. I am going to be a fully activated multidimensional human expressing my love and joy in reflection of the universe on this planet right here, right now. People will sit back and wait. And there's a lot of sitting back and waiting for somebody to make a decision for them. And I'm learning, you know, everybody's got to make that choice. But I feel like one thing to be of service at this time is to remind people that they even have a choice. You know, the idea that we're just going to wait here until, you know, the 2012 eruption, and then we're, you know, going to fall in the hole, or we're all going to rise up, or, you know, all these saviors are going to come back and all that stuff. You know, it's like there's a massive sludge in the consciousness of this holding pattern. And it seems to me that important part of breaking that is to claim our free will and choose this. And do you have any comments about that? How our free will actually is involved in this, and also how is our heart connection involved in this, and the shift from our intellectual intelligence to our heart intelligence, and how that integrates in the multidimensional universe human being born now?
Wow, that's a tall order for a couple of minutes.
Well, yep.
It comes down to really the more things change, the more they remain the same. And there are ancient maxims like to thine own self be true or be authentic. That I think speak to this, because if there is definitely an artificial false matrix, which is attempting to enslave people into an artificial version of their own self. Or their self-image, or what they think they are. You know, I am $1 million a year. I'm $100,000 a year. Or I'm this, or I'm this status, or I am a servant of the queen, or I'm a Navy man, or you know, things that are you're sort of wed to the permanent war economy and to these values that are ancient and that are part of a dualistic reality that is no longer supported. I mean, you can go for it, but you're going the way of the dinosaur or of Homo sapiens. Okay. In my humble opinion. That's why I'm saying that, like in terms of free will, I sort of like to substitute the word informed decision. That's why I say that it's up to everybody to begin to inform themselves and become educated and then make a decision. Because I think that the universe doesn't want believers. It wants informed participants who are motivated as members of an intelligent civilization. And those are the evolutionary values that are going to be promoted, and that dualistic destructive behavior based on belief or things of this sort, no matter how much sincere, are not going to be promoted anymore. Those are kind of Piscean values. I really stress illumination, self-education, self-help, information. You know, you're responsible for your own life. You're responsible for what you create, and ultimately, you're responsible as to whether you're going to be on the positive timeline or not. It's your responsibility. And I think that it comes down to an informed decision. It's like voting for yourself. It's all kind of common sense. I think that nature is very common sense. What kind of intelligent creature is nature going to promote at this point?
That's a very nice segue, because if you look at yourself honestly and objectively, you look at yourself and say, okay, what would I make better about this person? What would I change about this person? How would this person be more positive in my mind? How would I like that person to be? I bet those processes would be very in aligned with the universe itself or the nature intelligence, because it's in our hearts. You know, the answers to these questions, they're all there, and you're really right to point out and even stress that we really are in a challenge facing the fact that we have corruption in our system, shall we say. And I have to credit you, Alfred, for helping me realize that our systems, all of our systems, and this is my personal understanding at this point, moving into an experiential level of understanding as I now engage in this new knowledge and understanding, which is that all of our systems, our judicial systems, our school systems, all these things were, or they have a foundation in the reflection of the universe systems themselves. And my working understanding is that they have been corrupted by the slave matrix. That's what I call the false matrix, the matrix of deception of humanity. And that is what we are outgrowing. We're outgrowing the need for being told what and who to be, for how to act, how not to act. The human is just on some level maturing. We're going to take off the shoes that hurt now so we can walk free on the earth again and rise up in our true accord of who we are. And the systems themselves can be continued. We can clean them and heal them and make them all that they can be, just like us. So I have to thank you, Alfred, for helping me understand that, because I was much more, I guess, angry at the fact that they were so corrupted and I could only see the corruption. I couldn't see that there was beauty in it, that there could actually be a harmonious, functional system that actually served humanity, that actually served the universal continents. You don't have to look too far to see that our governments aren't serving humanity right now. This is there's not even an argument at this point, which is beautiful and all part of the whole thing coming down, makes it a lot easier to see how much we can improve. It's really easy now to figure out how to make it better, because everything, everywhere you turn, you can see something that can be better. So it's really not hard to find something to do at this point. It's just so glaring. We are at the final time. This hour flew by. My goodness me. Thank you so much, Alfred. Would you like to offer any words of close or wisdom, or offer your websites again and all that good stuff?
Well, just to thank you and just to say to people who are listening or will be listening to this program and, you know, out to the ethers, that what exists is the positive timeline. We are on to a cleansing of the earth in about 5 years, give or take a few years, and onto the final and full landing of paradise on earth and of enlightened unity consciousness in about 15 years. And that's what's in the cards. And so hop aboard. And of course, you can always get us at exopolitics.com.
Great. Well, thank you. And this now we could almost have another hour going into that. Okay. I mean, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And thank you all to the listeners for joining us. And bless all of you and all of us in our journey to transcending and becoming who we truly are. And it's such a pleasure to share the ride with all of you. And take good care of yourself and take good care of each other. And until next time in 2 weeks, which is a very special broadcast as well, I will join you again on January 1st, 2011, 1111, where I will be broadcasting live from a worldwide meditation activation, activating the unity consciousness. And I will be broadcasting from Dorchester, Massachusetts, from the Black Indian Inn. And we'll look forward very much to sharing that light with you, for sharing the broadcast of love and light from Boston, and affirming again the unity activation on 1111. So do take care. Bye-bye.